FM News Talk 97.1 podcast.
In a party as diverse as ours, does it worry you to see the top three being white guys?
Yes.
Why?
I aspire for our country to recognize the beauty of our diversity in some point in the future. And I hope someday we have a woman president. I love the fact that Barack Obama was our president for 8 years. I hope more people of color not only aspire and win the presidency, because that's what makes America so extraordinary, that we are all of that. We are everything. And I think a more inclusive America is a stronger America.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Strap in, ladies and gentlemen. 2020 is going to be a lot of fun. Can I just tell you that? Good Tuesday morning. Mark Cox back in for the Mark Cox Morning Show. Imagine that.
Good morning and welcome back.
That's how that works.
I've been getting a little bit of grief, ladies, because it seems like I've been off so much. What are they going to do when, like, Denise leaves and doesn't come back till next year?
Wait a second. You are gone just as long as I am over the holidays, except for 2 days.
I just spread it out.
You both earn these days. Everybody can just cut
exactly.
you a little
That's
slack
true.
Here.
I know. I spread it out a little bit, and Denise is taking hers all at once. So
you are too.
I am, but I'm back. I was off 2 days and I'm back, but you're going to be off for a long time.
So are you.
We're thrilled for you.
Thank you.
She's a little defensive down there.
Well, because it's only like 2 days difference.
Do you like your...
You're coming back the second. I'm not coming back until the next week, but seriously, 2 days.
Yeah. Well, you guys are both going to be gone. I think I'm just... Zach and I are just going to sit it out, too. You think that's a problem?
No.
You think that's cool?
Go
just put it on autopilot around here?
It could be a problem.
You think so?
Play a best of. You could find one.
There's so much good stuff. We'll just do
that's
two
right.
weeks of best
yeah.
ofs here.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, you guys probably talked about this already, but kudos to the company we work for that did a great job
this weekend
of the Bikes for Tykes.
What an amazing event.
We went out Friday, but they were there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, put together like 1,800 bikes for
broadcasting live all weekend,
children.
Too. And yeah collecting
fantastic.
Money and helmets. Amazing.
I think we have, we posted that up on the blog, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a link up there at 971talk.com/Cox. So good for them. Glad to hear that. Of course, we have we'll be helping out with Exodus coming up this week. So we'll let you know. We'll be live out there at O'Dark 30.
Yes.
So yes, we will.
The date
at the airport.
Be decided.
Yep. We'll let you know. They don't announce that till the last minute. So that's going to be fun. That'll be fantastic. Well, I had a nice relaxing weekend. How about you?
Good
you too.
You.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was
did
nice.
Anything fun? It's hard. It's funny to talk about a weekend on a Tuesday, but I had a good weekend.
Oh, I had to do all my Christmases over the weekend, so yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Busy, but fun.
Yeah. Did you get anything fun?
I don't really, I don't get present. It's about, not about me. It's about the kids.
The kids get anything fun? Like clean up money wise. I remember being a kid at family Christmases.
No, I mean, they're really not in the money thing yet.
No?
Yeah, no.
I
still
am.
Stuff.
If you wanna throw a few
stuff.
Few dollars over here.
Still into stuff.
Fair enough.
We, other than my honey-do list, which I painted a bathroom yesterday, which I got that checked off, so that's good. We took a little road trip, right?
Oh, good.
Down south to Washington County. Went to a little town called Caledonia, which is just south of Potosi.
Okay.
We had a great time down there. Can I tell you?
Oh, fun.
Just a little, one of those little wide spots in the road where they have antique shops and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. I found something that I didn't think they made anymore, honestly. I remember these from my youth, when I was a youth. I remember these, but my assumption was that political correctness would have erased this from the face of the earth. I'm going to get one of these out, and you tell me if you remember these or not. You two may be too young. I didn't even know they still made them.
Is that a candy cigarette?
They sell packs of candy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God, it smokes.
They sell packs of candy cigarettes at this place.
How did
and
you
I
smoke?
Honestly, look at this. They even look like little cigarette packages. And
oh,
I honestly
yeah.
didn't think... They made these things anymore.
I didn't think they did either.
Well, and
it really pops.
It actually pops. Those are like the original legit. Don't
we got to get some
cigarettes.
Of that on video?
No kidding. Can you believe that?
Because at some point when I was a kid, they changed them. They were just sticks, like white sticks of candy. And
yeah,
still...
I don't remind mine ever like
and
actually
now they looks like
puffing,
they got a
but
filter.
I remember eating them.
Now it looks like it's got a filter on it. It's actually
that's a
I guess
fancy
it's
one.
Bubble gum.
Mark's over there smoking and pretending
but I'm,
like it's...
I'm you know just hanging out this morning with my cigarette in my mouth.
Oh, that's funny.
You kind of know how to do that. Did you smoke?
No.
Thank you.
Did you used to smoke?
No.
Denise has always
I dropped
said.
My cigarette. I'm going to cause a fire.
Like, I can't say, I can't smoke because I would look ridiculous.
She always says that. She's like, I couldn't even smoke if I wanted to. I'd look ridiculous.
I don't know what to do.
So anyway, I found these lots of, you know, old time candy that you don't think you're going to find anymore. They had at this little mercantile store there. It was pretty cool. If you're ever down there, check it out. Right on 20, which right on 21 south of Potosi.
You said Caledonia? Is that what you said?
Caledonia.
Is that a song? I think that's a song.
Yeah,
California.
No, there's a Caledonia song.
Is there a Caledonia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Stand by.
Imagine that. What's the matter? Did she say stand by?
She's going
to
remember who it's by.
She's trying to
draw a blank on it.
So I'll tell you what. We got a great show for you today. Obviously, this tool, James Comey, was out this weekend. And this guy is just... hates Donald Trump. And what he is become, what he has become, is the perfect poster child for what's going on in this country when it comes to attacking this president. We're going to talk more about it, but all you need to know about James Comey, I can sum it up for you in this sentence. This is a man who vividly remembered his experience in government well enough to write an autobiography, but 249 times in his testimony to Congress last week, he said, I can't recall. He answered, he used that phrase almost 250 times in congressional testimony for questions he didn't want to answer, like, did you leak classified documents? I can't recall. But he remembered enough to write an autobiography and to try to make money and profit off of his time in public service. And that's what you need to know about James Comey. We're going to talk more about that coming up. We got Dr. Randy Tobler today. We're going to talk to Ron McCain from The Range. I mean, a couple, honestly, the folks trying to attack your Second Amendment rights seem to make ground every week. I can't believe what they're doing in some parts of the country, including New Jersey. We're going to get to that a little later. And a real treat for you today near the end of the show. Obviously, we couldn't bring Johnny Cash in here for obvious reasons, but we brought in the next best thing. That's Bill Furness is coming in because he's got a fundraiser coming up for police. And we're going to tell you about it. And this guy is just, he's a dead ringer for Johnny Cash when he talks. The Folsom Prison
Love
Blues.
It.
He
I'm
does
excited.
A great
yeah.
job. He really is going to come in studio for us, and he's going to sing for us a little later. So set your alarm. Tell Siri to set an alarm for about 8:48, and be sure you tune back in so you can hear Bill. You'll appreciate that. Did you find that song you were looking for?
I did. I don't know the artist.
She's not sure she's going to play it.
I'm not going to play it right now. Maybe
it's
coming
good.
Into the next segment. We'll
it's
see
good
happens.
When your executive producer is cautious like that. She's not sure what's going to come out of the
not
radio.
Not sure what's going to happen until it's not going to happen.
She feels like that with me all the time, but she's not sure what's going to come out of the radio.
Close to that dumb button.
314-241-9797 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls and more coming up. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
The investigation within the last 10 days, 2 weeks of the election of Hillary Clinton, and he feels terrible about it. I know he thought he was acting in the most appropriate and most rectitudinous fashion, but he was wrong.
That's some Steve Cohen, right? Who, just like many Democrats, can't get over the loss in 2016. So it's got to be Russian collusion and James Comey, and they're all to blame, and that's just what it is. And Comey is in a complete, he's moved to a new state. Did you know that? Did you guys know he moved?
No.
It's a state of denial. Ah. He's been in it. He's been in it from, sorry, that was a bad one. He's been in it for a while now. And listen to cut number five, because cut number five kind of cuts to the chase. Cut number five lets you see through James Comey to the true loathing he has for Donald J. Trump. Listen.
Of the Republicans who are remaining in the House next session, do you see any taking that mantle, coming up and defending the FBI, taking on the president?
Not yet. To my view, to their everlasting shame, I hope they'll overcome that and realize someday they got to explain to their grandchildren what they did today.
And what is it that they did today, Jim? Did they answer I can't recall to 250 questions at the advice of their attorney? Is that what they did? I'm puzzled about that. What the Republicans did by calling you in to question your incompetence as director of the FBI. That's fascinating to me. Let's get to the soapbox.
Now, Mark Cox soapbox.
All right, so the knives are out for Donald Trump, and I understand that's not breaking news to people who've long supported him. But listen, the last few days I've been off reading a lot of stuff has made it painfully obvious that his opponents are gaining some traction. There are those who don't think he'll last out his term, and there are those who hope he won't last out his term. They are not the same, these two things. I've talked about to former Missouri Governor Eric Greitens' situation many times, and you have to look at the parallels, folks. When all of the things your opponents accuse you of doing would have been overlooked if you weren't in a position of power over them, something's wrong with the system. The popular line from, quite frankly, a lot of state legislators in Missouri and friends of mine that I know pretty well is that, well, Greitens didn't get along with anybody, and that's what sunk him. Hogwash. When the voters of a state or the voters through the Electoral College vote in an outsider, they've done that for a reason. They see a system that's broken, filled with insiders who simply feed the beast that serves them. So the Greitens election didn't sit well in Missouri, and out came the long knives. Democrats, Republicans, establishment. Not a single prosecution. All charges dropped as long as the Democrats and the Republicans and the establishment got what they wanted, which was the outsider removed. You'd have to be willfully blind not to see the same thing going on in Washington, D.C. right now. A Democrat-driven investigation with the special counsel, of course, regarding Russian collusion that never happened, and no charges alleging it happened after $40 million in costs to investigate it. Indictments of people associated with Donald Trump and his campaign, but so far the only charges are for perjury traps, 14-year-old bank fraud, or a campaign finance issue. Lots of insinuation, lots of innuendo that the president is an unindicted co-conspirator, I think is what Adam Schiff for Brain said about it. Yet everyone agrees Donald Trump won't be indicted because not a single one of these allegations suggests the high crimes and misdemeanors that would be needed to legally remove him from office. But every additional perjury charge or bank fraud charge or campaign finance violation creates additional smoke around this president. It's what his enemies want. And again, sound familiar? What a pathetic day in America when someone elected to the highest office in the land is suddenly at risk of impeachment or worse simply because he threatens the establishment, which makes you think, whose ox has he gored? Well, just about everyone's, if you think about it. Cutting regulations, reducing the size of bureaucratic departments, reducing taxes, which of course threatens the feed bag strapped onto every bureaucrat in Washington, D.C., and it's of course their lifeline for continued existence. Trump threatens that. Trade policies that seem to benefit everyone but the American taxpayer, which he's trying to reverse. those who support open borders, and those too stupid to understand why that's a threat to our sovereignty. This is a dangerous time in America. Unless you're driving, close your eyes and think of all the pictures that you've seen from 8 or 10 or 15 or 20 years ago with the president's current political enemies with their arms wrapped around him and smiles on their faces as they reach their right hand into his wallet. Donald Trump was not a threat to anyone until he got elected to a position of power over them and their budgets. Now, what do we have? We have an attorney general in New York who was elected on a platform of harassing the sitting president of the United States of America. You have a group of liberal progressive attorneys general and others led by Eric Holder challenging the president in court on every decision. You have a House of Representatives about to be controlled by Nancy Pelosi, who's going to investigate and subpoena and do everything they can to endanger this presidency. That's what we've got going on in Washington. Chuck Schumer, the whole lot of them, just because they don't like the outsider. The knives are out for Donald Trump. And if his enemies succeed, the Republic will not long survive it. Your phone call's coming up. 314-241-9797.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Don't want the rest of us to think about it too much. They want us just to mouth the empty platitudes and move on. Nothing to see here. Shut up and go away. Those who won't shut up get silenced. You've seen it a million times. It happens all the time. The enforcers scream, racist, on Twitter, until everybody gets intimidated and changes the subject to the Russia investigation or some other distraction. It's a tactic, a well-worn one. Nobody thinks it's real. And it won't work with this show. We're not intimidated.
Thank you, Tucker Carlson. So a group tried to target him and get him taken off the air. They're trying to get they're calling for a boycott of his advertisers. Does this sound familiar? Because of one little thing that he said last week about illegal immigration. Because, you know, these nut jobs on the left wing monitor Fox News constantly, just waiting for something to come out that that they can go try to make hay out of for better or worse, right? That's what they do. He made a reference in talking about illegal immigration that said that basically immigrants are making America dirtier and poorer, but that our leaders demand that you shut up and accept the caravan. And because of that, they want his advertisers to stop supporting him. They also didn't like it when, remember when the president referred to some of these third world countries as crap holes? Mm-hmm. Is that the best word for it that I can use on radio? Yeah.
Yep.
Without using one of the seven dirty words.
Thank you.
They didn't like that. Oh, how dare you? Oh. You know what? If you went and took, if Pew went down there and took a public research poll in one of these third world countries, I'm telling you, 80% of the people there would agree with them. Because they all want to come here for a reason. Because it's not a crap hole, generally speaking. And I can name specific areas that would fit that criteria. Areas largely controlled by Democrats, I should point out. But generally speaking, that's not the term you'd hear associated with America. So good for Tucker Carlson for standing up for himself and saying, listen, you know what? The truth is that unregulated mass immigration, illegal immigration, has badly hurt this country's natural landscape. Illegal immigration comes at a huge cost to our environment. The left used to care about the environment. Not so long ago, environmentalists opposed mass immigration. They knew what the costs were. They still know it, but they don't care. And we do, and we're going to continue talking about it. Good for him. I mean, to me, it's not an environmental situation. That's what he was referring to there. But they still haven't fixed the problem on the southern border. And clearly they have no intention of fixing the problem on the southern border. Did you hear Chuckie Schumer yesterday? We're not funding the wall. It's done. That was his quote. It's done. So here's my question, and really, Tricia, I wish in the limited time that we'll have for the remainder of the week that we could try to get Ann Wagner or Senator Blunt on the program, because I'd like to ask them this question. We're in the waning days of this Congress, and pretty soon there's going to be a new group taking over. There's going to be a new sheriff in town in the House. And her name is the equivalent of nails scratching on a chalkboard all across America.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Stand it. Anyway, there's a new sheriff in town, and we know that. That's the truth of what's going to happen in 2 weeks. That's the reason that the folks on the left, Chuck Schumer included, are trying to argue, Mr. President, we're not trying to put in a single Democratic initiative. We just want you to pass a temporary spending bill to get us through Christmas. You know what, Chuck? Not everybody in the room is as stupid as you think. We know why you want to get through Christmas, because in early January, Nancy Pelosi takes over control of the House, which controls, that's where all spending in Congress originates, is in the House. Chuck Schumer knows that. Donald Trump knows that. All of the every political elected official in America knows that on a federal level. Nobody's that stupid, right? So we see what's going on here. Chuck, we know what you're trying to do. So here's my question to Ann Wagner or Senator Blunt or John Shimkus or whoever we can get on the horn. Why not vote in the House on a budget resolution, a spending bill that includes funding for the wall, send it to the United States Senate, have Mitch McConnell take it to the floor for debate, and then have a closure vote. And when the 51 Republicans in the United States Senate, or maybe 50, vote to approve it, but the 9 Democrats, maybe including Jeff Flake, because he kind of is, vote against it, then you have your answer as to why the government shut down. Because you know the president would sign it. Why are they going to let the Democrats hang this around Donald Trump's neck? I fail to understand that. Have the vote in the House. You've got the votes because Republicans still control it. Send it to the Senate. It'll never get, the cloture vote will fail because the Democrats will vote against it. You would need 9 Democrats to end debate. Then you could pass it on a straight party line vote. But the Democrats are never going to let that happen. And then the government shutdown is in Chuck Schumer's lap instead of down at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm no political strategist, but there's a little bit of common sense banging around in the cabeza here, right? Why would you not do that? Why would they leave things the way they are? Let me get to line one here. Dave, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. Great show.
Oh, thank you.
I got a question for your anti-Trump individuals that called your show. If you could ask them if they're going to send that check back to the IRS for the money that Donald Trump saved them in his tax reform bill when they call.
But that's just crumbs, Dave. Come on.
Well said, Mark. I believe that would be their argument.
Why would you send crumbs back? I mean, the government doesn't need crumbs.
Well said, my friend. But cracks me up. Have a good day, man.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Yeah, I appreciate that.
That's sick. Those are corrupt bastards, Chris.
Yeah, I'm just, Sarah Palin's got it absolutely correct. I don't know. I personally think that's a great question. We have within our grasp the opportunity to put this in the hands of the Democratic Party in the Senate. Because pretty soon, all the spending bills that originate out of the House will have to have Nancy Pelosi's stamp of approval. Right now, they don't. For a limited few days, they don't. So go ahead and take the vote, Mr. President. Take the vote. Drive home the point to the American people that this is a Democrat problem. This is not a Republican problem. We need to get funding for the wall. Billions and billions and billions is what we need to do. I thought Mercedes Schlapp spelled this out pretty well this weekend. She of course, is the director of strategic communications for the president. And they went to her and said, well, what's the president going to do here? And I thought she was pretty clear on that.
The president's continuing to negotiate with Congress. Obviously, he's looking to have increased funding for border security. That is his priority. And we're going to find ways to get to that $5 billion and make sure that we increase funding not only for the physical barrier, but also for technology and for personnel.
Is the $5 billion negotiable?
Yeah, he's very focused on getting to that $5 billion number.
Yeah. He's going to find it one way or the other, and that's what's going to confound them. Maybe he will take it out of the military budget, whatever needs to happen. Getting back to what I said to you a minute ago in the soapbox, there are people whose oxes are gored by Donald Trump because he doesn't do what's in the best interest of the establishment. And that's all. Washington is a vacuum, right? And once you get inside the vacuum, anything you do that threatens that pressure in that vacuum, they can't stand it. They can't have now the Democratic Party, which just a few years ago supported the idea of a border wall, now thinks Donald Trump wants you to believe he's some sort of radical human rights violator because he wants to stop people from coming into this country illegally. Go to cut number 25, and I will apologize in advance for making you hear this voice this early in the morning, but please go to cut 25.
Well, look, I voted numerous times when I was a senator to spend money to build a barrier to try to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in. And I do think you have to control your border.
You know, just ignore that.
Because now she's realized, along with all of her Democratic minions, that is a huge voting block. And if we can just get them in here, we'll have Democrats in control of everything, handing out the goodies, robbing Peter as long as Peter's got something to rob to give to Paul for free until the gig is up, just like it is in Venezuela, just like it's about to be in France and all these other places, Greece. That's where we're headed. 314-241-9797. I'll get to Jim and more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Widely accepted changes and the most drastic changes, right, and the most significant changes to make schools safe in 20 years since Columbine.
Yeah. Guess what? It's a Tuesday. So we've got 2A Tuesday coming up for you a little later. We're going to talk to Ron McCain from the Range St. Louis West. Leading up to that, that's one of the conversations we're going to have, though, is that they came out, the commission that was put together 8 or 9 months ago in the wake of the Parkland High School shooting has issued a list of recommendations. And the gun-grabbing left is about to lose their collective minds. Can I just tell you that? Because just like I've been telling you from the beginning, this was not a gun issue at this school. It was not a gun issue with Cruz, the character who committed these horrible crimes at Parkland High School. it was a problem with the system. And much of it comes back to the school district, and a lot of it comes back in the broader sense to school security. That if schools were secured properly, these things wouldn't happen as often in these gun-free soft targets that we otherwise call school buildings. And that's the conclusion in large part that this commission reached. So we're going to talk more about that coming up. First of all, let me get to the phones here real quick. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. How's it going?
Great, thank you. What's going on with you?
Well, I was just listening to your discussion there of this immigration issue. And I think the reason they don't bring it up in Congress is because Paul Ryan is supportive of illegal immigration. He always has been. And so you've got the House leadership, whether it was Boehner, who now, by the way, is, as you probably know, is the biggest pot salesman.
Yeah, I saw that.
And Paul Ryan, both of them, were always this pro-illegal immigration. I mean, that's always been a problem there.
So, yeah.
I think there's a leadership in the House that needs to be looked at, and they're going to be out in a week anyway, or 2 weeks. So I think that's the real issue.
I think you're probably getting pretty close to the truth there. Maybe they went to Ryan and said, "Please vote on this so we can hang it around the Democrat's neck." And his flying up yours to the his up yours to the president as he's flying out the door was, I don't think we're going to do that.
The real question to ask Ann Wagner, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, did she vote for Kevin McCarthy for minority leader? I'd still like to know that answer.
Oh, yeah, I'll ask her. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know. I don't know who she voted for, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, Jim Jordan is the right answer.
Yes, correct.
McCarthy. So.
Yeah, he would have been the right answer. You're right about that. Jim, thank you for the call.
Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate that. What do we have here? About a minute?
Got to.
Okay, cool. Let me get to Michael then on line two. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Mark?
Great, thank you.
Listen, I don't think people thought this through. Jim Comey wanted to be the Attorney General of the United States. He did not want to continue as the FBI director. And his plan was that if Hillary Clinton was elected, that he walked into Hillary Clinton's office and say, "Look, I still have a lot of goods on you. Let's make this simple. Let's make me the Attorney General of the United States." And she was going to say, "Oh, no, I've got Loretta Lynch. Loretta Lynch is my person." He's like, "Look, I got the goods on Loretta Lynch, too, with the whole meeting with your husband on the tarmac. And so you either make me Attorney General or I'm going to have a different book than what he wrote right now." And I think that's where Jim Comey was. And he's a very ambitious man. And that Trump being elected just dashed his plans of even being the FBI director, just threw him out on his tail, as opposed to being the next Attorney General of the United States.
But Michael, he can't recall anything. I don't know how effective he would have been as Attorney General.
Clinton, that would have been an advantage.
I'm sorry, I don't recall how many emails were missing. Yeah. I don't recall what was on Huma Abedin's laptop that we never really ever looked at.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That's a great point, Michael. Thank you.
Thank you, Morgan.
Yeah, have a good morning, buddy. Thank you. I appreciate that. He's right, though. Yeah. You know Comey had higher political aspirations that got crushed because of the outcome of the 2016 election. He clearly thought Hillary Clinton had a dominant enough lead that when he announced he was reopening that investigation briefly that it wouldn't impact it. I still don't think it impacted it. That's not why she lost the election. She was a horrible candidate. They're just looking for excuses as to why she lost. They still can't accept it. They're bitter, hateful, resentful people in this resist movement. They don't have any reason to not like Donald Trump other than their pure hatred for that loss in 2016. When her got committed to the dustbin of history. 314-241-9797. More of your calls coming up.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
There are not the votes for the wall in the House or the Senate. He is not going to get the wall in any form.
Something tells me, Chucky, that the president will get what he wants. He may not get it in the form of your bill passed by your Senate, but my sneaking suspicion is that he will get it. And I suspect that we're going to see a bit of a government shutdown come this Friday. The big question is, what difference is it going to make ultimately? And I think that's a fair question. I know that it impacts. I've got a relative, a couple times removed, who is in the hospitality industry,
mm-hmm.
and he tells me that when there's a government shutdown, the tourism industry feels it immediately, like the hospitality industry, because the first thing they do when these big government agencies affected by this is they cancel travel and they cancel, trips to seminars and whatever they're doing across the country, spending your tax dollars. They put a cramp on that, right? They crimp it,
sure.
I should say.
Yep.
Not a cramp, a crimp. You may feel like you have a cramp, but it's going to be a crimp. And so there are impacts like that, and I know we have a lot of folks in the greater St. Louis area who are employed by the federal government. I'm not saying there's no impact. What I'm saying is I think whatever it is will be short-term, but the Republicans have got to make the public realize what's at stake and who's to blame. I know the president said he'd take the blame for it. I don't know if he wins political points for that or not, but I think ultimately that they need to make people realize they need to take a vote. They need to take a vote in the Senate on passing a bill with a $5 billion funding for the wall. And then if that doesn't work, if they can't get the Democratic votes they need, it hangs squarely around Chuck Schumer's neck. But I don't think they're going to do that.
No.
That's madly frustrating to me. Can I just tell you that? Makes me want to jump out that window right there. Except this is pretty funny because we're in a studio here, obviously, with windows, which we didn't have when we were over at the other company. And if you haven't heard us mention this, on this window, the studio was built out to have some vacuum space between the actual window and there's a piece of glass.
Is that to keep it warmer in here? Because it's not working.
I think it's to keep it warmer
it's not
in
working.
Here.
Yeah,
I don't think the building's
it's
well
not.
Insulated. It's hot in here.
But it is if when you haven't been in here before, it's dangerous.
It is very dangerous. So, yes.
So there's a piece of glass. Hopefully it's like bulletproof on the inside of the window, but the actual window where you would lock it or unlock it is probably 24 inches past that. And everybody, including our boss who walked in here the other day, they bang their head into the first piece of glass thinking they can stick their head out further and see
it's
what's going on outside
every
of the
time,
window.
Too.
It is funny. We all got it out the first week. Jeff walked into the window like 2 weeks ago. Just
bam. I know. I do. Every time I walk up to him, I'm like, oh, yeah, someone hit it again. Because, you kind of leave a little mark behind.
You do.
Yeah.
They were talking about on the Glover show yesterday how it looks like there's kisses, like people kiss the window, and I really think that's just people smashing their face into it.
It's the grease off their collective foreheads as they smack their head into it. So rest assured I cannot leap out the window even if the whole budget thing makes me want to.
Good.
I can't.
We'd miss you
terribly. Yeah, we need you.
Well, I appreciate that. You know what? You have to stay tuned here in the next hour. Not only do I have Chris Arps coming in, because if I don't say that, he's going to say, well, you weren't talking about me in the next hour. But in the 8 o'clock hour, you got Chris Arps coming in. And then at about 8:48, I want you to be sure you tune in, tell Siri to set an alarm or something so you tune back in. We're going to have Bill Fornes in, and he's the lead singer of One More Round. And it's a Johnny Cash tribute band. And he's just crushes it when he imitates Johnny Cash. And he's going to bring his guitar in. He's going to play a couple of tunes for us. And he's going to also talk about the St. Louis County Police fundraiser that they have going on where his band will be playing and you can show up and support the police. So looking forward to that. Also, in this hour, we're going to talk to Ron McCain from the Range St. Louis West. A couple of crazy gun laws that have just gone into effect. You've heard about it in New Jersey. They're trying to keep off-duty police officers from carrying sidearms that have, more than 10 rounds in the magazine. And in New York, they want to raise insurance rates to $1 million if you own a gun to try to. I mean, it's just crazy. We see it again and again and again and again. And now Nancy Pelosi's taking over the House again. In light of all of that, they've issued a report from the Parkland School District. They put together a safety commission. The legislature did, not the school district. They put a panel together to dissect what led to Florida's deadliest school shooting. It ends up being a 400-page report that's going to officially be delivered to the governor before New Year's Day. And they've been looking at this since April. And I want to talk to you a little bit about it because there are a few surprises in it and some disappointments for the gun-grabbing crowd. So we're going to discuss that. When we come back here, we're going to we will, in just a minute, we're going to talk to Rachel Sutherland because the whole Chuck Schumer problem is growing. And I don't know where it goes, but like I said here off the top of the hour, I think we're going to have a government shutdown before the week is out. I don't know any way around it. Let me get to Hosea here, who's called in on line one. Is it Hosea? Have I mispronounced it? Sorry.
Yes, you did, just like Tony did yesterday.
Sorry.
He was so rude.
That
rude
was Tim.
Oh, Tim was rude? I'm sorry. Tim.
Rude to the truth, yes. I just like to pose one question, and I'm going to get off the air and let you make your comments.
Yes.
Because it seems to be the elephant in the room that no one wishes to acknowledge. My simple question is, if Barack Obama was the president now, and all of these conspiracies and the Russians are knocking at our door, would the far right be having the same narrative now?
Well, that's a really good question. I do know that of all the investigations that they managed to do during the Obama administration, Benghazi, the gun running that Eric Holder did across the border, all of that stuff, at the time, the right was accused of just trying to run him out of office. You remember that?
I do, but if I'm upon reflection, looking back, I see no one going to jail, no one going to court. I mean, I keep hearing, you know, well, during Trump's campaign, he kept saying, lock her up. Now it seems, you know, his people are being locked up.
But you know, and that's a good point. But I'm sorry that you missed my soapbox earlier, and I should probably get back to it. But don't you see the parallel here? Between what's happening to Donald Trump and what happened to our former governor, Eric Greitens?
No, I do not, because Donald Trump is the president of the United States, the greatest country in the world, and he is leading us astray, and you guys...
Here's my question. How is he leading us astray? That's the key here, because none of the allegations, none of the guilty pleas, none of the charges, none of that speak to any wrongdoing on the part of Donald Trump. There's a perjury trap. There's 10-year-old tax.
Perjury trap.
That's exactly what it is. There's a perjury trap. There's a 10-year-old, what do they get Manafort for? Tax evasion 10 years ago. Maybe a minor campaign finance violation. Barack Obama paid over $2 million in campaign finance violations.
Okay,
let me finish. Point is, none of that speaks to any sort of high crime or misdemeanor or anything that would legitimately bring down Donald Trump's presidency. None of it. It's all peripheral.
So why do you say
Donald Trump is leading the United States astray? How? Explain that to me.
Okay. Just recently, the guy who was living in America, writing for the, I think it was the Boston Post, he was killed by Saudi Arabia. Is that correct?
The allegation is that he was killed by somebody in the royal family in Saudi Arabia.
And the Secret Service, America's Secret Service, found that to be credible. But the president disagreed. He sided with the Saudis.
But no. But again, okay, we can dispute what you just said factually about Saudi Arabia. But my question, and I asked Jim Carafano this one day on the air, what am I missing about the Khashoggi case in Saudi Arabia? And he was as dumbfounded by it as I am. So if you set that aside, our relationship with Saudi Arabia is important, but whatever that relationship is does not mean the president of the United States is leading the United States astray. What do you mean by that? There are more jobs than there are people to fill them right now in America. Explain to me how he's leading us astray.
morally. Oh, all right, I give you a prime example. When George Bush, great president, just passed away, at his funeral, we had all the living presidents and the first ladies, and they were all praying. I looked up, there was the president, and he refused to pray. He had that gray look on his face rather than pray, and he looked at had that gray look.
So because he didn't avert his eyes to the floor, he's a godless sodomite. I'm trying to figure out what that is. What does that mean?
I'm trying to say that when it came time to pray, all the living presidents were praying. He chose not to. Simple as that.
So simple as that. For that reason, he should no longer be president of the United States. Is that your point?
I'm not saying for that reason. It just adds on. And speaking of the getting back to race. All right, can I get back to race?
Well, yeah, you know, that's fine. You said you were going to make a point and hang up and listen. I haven't gotten to that point yet.
That was a good one. Here's my point. Hey, now check this out. Barack Obama would never have been president, never in a million years, if Michelle Obama would have done what Trump's wife had done, posed nude for GQ.
Why do you think that? This is crazy.
That would never occur. Why did I think that?
She would have been celebrated
Obama
for
Obama won
it.
By a landslide. She would have been celebrated for that. I've given you quite a bit of time today. I appreciate
right
the phone
that
call.
For sure.
Thank you for the call. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. Where do you go with that?
You know, he mentioned that yesterday, and I couldn't get over that part. I'm like, are you kidding me? She would have absolutely been celebrated for being liberating and celebrating the human form and whatever other ridiculous things you want to say about it, whether you like it or not. I don't really care. But it's just, that's a ridiculous thing to say that he would not have been elected if she had done that. It's just silly.
Not to compare Michelle Obama and Stormy Daniels, but Stormy Daniels wasn't criticized by anyone on the left for her choice of profession.
No.
She's celebrated for women's empowerment. And I
believe you can pray with your eyes open. I'm just saying. I don't think there's a rule that you're not praying if your eyes are closed. I think you can pray with your eyes open.
You know who does think the president's leading us astray is James Comey. If you missed any of his testimony, let me get to Rachel Sutherland. She is, of course, with Fox News Radio, and she's been hanging on listening to the craziness of my last caller. Rachel, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I love crazy radio.
Hey, you know what? I listened to Jim Comey yesterday, and I found it fascinating that he's been pretty hard on some of the Republican senators, but he went to testify in Congress, and was he unable to recall answers like 249 times? Is that the correct number?
Well, that was one of the interviews, and I think he had a lawyer with him and suggesting that he not answer certain questions. This interview that happened yesterday behind closed doors, a transcript of that will be released, though, probably later today or tomorrow, in the very near future anyway. And so we don't know exactly what was said during that hearing, which he wanted a public hearing, and because he didn't get it, he certainly aired concerns after leaving the hearing room. I mean, he talked to reporters, he blasted Republicans, the president, Fox News, among other things. So he really believes that there's been a campaign to discredit the FBI. He says the reputation has been tarnished. It'll take a long time for it to come back. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, she sent out a statement as blistering, calling him a shameless fraud, saying Republicans should stand up to him and what she called his tremendous corruption. So there's just been, as we've discussed many times, the parallel universes. One side believing that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia to get the president elected. The other side believing that it was the deep state somehow trying to keep him from getting elected. And neither side, you cannot blend these storylines. They're just two separate books.
Yeah, true. I wonder, having listened and read a little bit of the transcript from the first hearing, what they were hoped to accomplish, other than they had to know Jim Comey was going to come up there and either plead the fifth or not answer half those questions.
Well, I think so. And I think that it'd be wise on his part with the advice of his lawyer to take that advice and to not answer questions. I mean, any of us would. So trying to get to the bottom of what was said We can get that transcript. Some of it may be redacted. Some of it may be more of him not answering questions. But he was so angry when he left yesterday. I get the impression that lawmakers were really focusing in on the FBI and perhaps former FBI agent Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and the text messages that they exchanged that were very critical of then-candidate Trump. So I get that impression. I wouldn't put money on it, but I think that's probably what was discussed.
That's a good point. And do we have any indication at this point that the General Flynn 302 or whatever they call it would have been discussed? I guess we don't know that yet, but it was released yesterday, right?
I do know those memos have been released, and it talks about his sentencing and the interview, that fated interview in January of 2017, where his lawyer's saying, look, you know, he didn't have a lawyer. He did not know this was this kind of interview, that essentially they're making the case that the FBI entrapped him into lying. And they made that case to the judge who's going to sentence him today. Judge Emmett Sullivan is known to be kind of a hawk on the government, so that could work in his favor. Mueller, of course, putting in a court filing saying that he knew better, that Flynn knew he should not lie to federal agents.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Rachel, because I know you've covered this story. The substance of what Flynn was involved in those conversations is not at issue. There's no doubt he had a right in a transition team to have those conversations. The real question here is just perjury, what he said to the FBI agents versus what he said in the conversations, correct?
Right. The only thing he's charged here with is lying. He did, the statements that were untrue, according to Flynn, were about his contacts with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak. You'll remember he was just like everywhere during the campaign. And so that's if you really want to hone in on it, that's it.
Very good. Rachel Sutherland, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks.
Yep. Rachel with Fox News Radio there. Appreciate getting her on. So she's covering the fallout from the Comey testimony, and I'm sure some transcripts will be allowed, will be released here at some point. So we'll keep an eye on that. You know what? Speaking of budgets, St. Louis County's government is at loggerheads over a bunch of budget cuts. We're going to try to get Mark Harder, county councilman, on the air here near the top of the hour. So stay tuned for that. Maybe around 7:48 or so, I'm hoping to get him on the radio to talk about what's going on. I know there's talk about the police budget and Prop P funds and all of that stuff. When we come back, my friend Ron McCain from the Rain St. Louis West is going to join us. We're going to talk about some of these crazy gun regulations and restrictions across the country. And how it may affect your Second Amendment rights. 314-241-9797. I wanted to talk about it because the Parkland Commission got together after that Parkland school shooting, and they finally issued a 400-page report. Their job, they had one job. Look at what happened in the Parkland school situation and dissect it, figure out what went wrong. And you know what it came down to, folks? Not the availability of guns or should you be able to buy a gun at 18 or should you... didn't come down to any of that. It had nothing to do with guns. You know what it came down to? School security. Bottom line, they discovered that a gate had been unlocked at the front of the school that shouldn't have been unlocked. They discovered the school district looked the other way for a number of years while this Cruz kid brought knives to school and talked about cutting people. And they overlooked statements by his eighth grade teacher where he said he wanted to kill people. I mean, they ignored so many clues in this that it was amazing. And in the end, that's the conclusion that they reached, that it was a school security issue, plain and simple. Listen just real quick to part of the report on that.
Commissioners noted a big problem, school security and an open gate.
Cruz exploited this open and unstaffed gate, and it is what allowed him initial access to the campus, and that this open and unstaffed gate was a security failure.
The commission is recommending a statewide overhaul of school security, one commissioner noting that failure to lock the gate led to deadly consequences.
Yeah, so I think it's important to point that out, because remember David Hogg and all the other people from Parkland, and the only answer is take away guns, take away guns, take away guns. And that's not what was to blame for what happened with this Cruz kid in the Parkland school shooting. Let's get to our guest, please.
If you ban him in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Hey, my friend Ron McCain is with us this morning from the Range. Ron, you know what? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Mark, I don't know how you did it. We got your Christmas card the other day. You've got an amazing family, and so congratulations to your wife. I don't know what you did to deserve
it. Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. You're not referring to the Christmas pajamas she made me wear in the Christmas card, right?
Oh, here we go.
No. I knew he wouldn't do that. No, that's good.
I'll do that privately.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, we appreciate that. You know, Ron, on back to this Parkland thing, I can't get over this again. One of the other suggestions they came back with after this 400-page, 8-month-long commission report is not only was it a school security issue, but they should consider arming teachers. I'll bet their head is about to twist off their shoulders.
Common sense. It sounds like whoever wrote that report has some basic common sense and knowledge of what the real issue is. I continue to be amazed at how people or politicians, as we discuss this, want to point at a tool as the problem instead of paying attention to what the real issues are.
You know, sure.
It's just, it's common sense to me that if my finger hurts, I'm not going to cut my arm off. I'm going to treat the real issue, right? So why can't we do that? Why can't we have a conversation about that?
Well, it's a great point. I didn't see this get a great deal of coverage on a nationwide stage. Had they come out and said we should severely restrict gun access, I bet this would have been the headline on every mainstream media outlet in America. Instead, what they said was they touched on failures at the school level, leaving the front gates open, nobody calling for a lockdown, the Broward County Sheriff's Office haphazard response to the scene, and then holding the districts accountable for reporting threats and crimes on campus. They also called for disciplinary measures for personnel at the Sheriff's Department and at Stoneman Douglas High School as a result of what happened. I mean, not a mention of a gun in that whole thing. That's amazing, eye-opening.
It's pleasantly so.
Yeah, no kidding.
And how in the world did you sit down and read 400 pages at one time?
I'm good. I'm just telling you. I had 4 days off, and I put it to good use. Are you kidding me? My wife would have throttled me.
Well, but what they point out is very true. Bad guys are going to be bad guys. They've existed forever. We just had a shooting in a public place that they classified as a terrorist act over in France. People out Christmas shopping, and they have some of the strictest gun laws in the world. A bad guy had a gun, and how do you stop a bad guy with a gun? Somebody has to to exercise equal or greater force to neutralize that, period. And the laws that they pass that continually target firearms are only benefiting the criminals. You know, they're passing these laws thinking that they're benefiting the average American citizen because, you know, it's for your own good. We know better than you. We know what we can do to take care of you. But the criminals will have firearms, period. They're always going to look for a tool that they can use to take what you have or do harm to you. And the only way to stop that is if you have the ability to fight back.
Well, you know, I see it across the country all the time. Every day there's a new story. In Pittsburgh, in Pennsylvania, there's been a bill introduced by a state legislator to remove the preemption clause from state law, which would give local cities full authority to make their own gun laws. So in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, where most of the crazies live, they would be able to restrict your gun laws as much as they could. Meanwhile, groups like the NRA and I'm sure the Second Amendment Foundation would do what they could in a court of law to try to stop that. But this is under assault everywhere. People need to be aware of this and some of these red flag laws that are popping up around the country.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. The anti-gun establishment is making zero headway on a national level. So they have switched their attention to working in on the local level and getting cities and municipalities, states, to enact legislation that restricts your gun rights. It's all right, I'm not getting what I want here, so I'll go over here and maybe I can get death by a thousand cuts instead of just one fell swoop.
Yeah.
When they start talking about municipalities passing their own laws that infringe upon my constitutional rights, that's a dangerous thing, isn't it? I mean, when are they going to attack laws that attack my First Amendment rights or take away my Fifth and Fourteenth Amendment rights to due process, which, by the way, these red flag laws are doing? It's a very, very slippery slope, and you're absolutely right. Just because nothing's happening at a national level, that our gun rights seem to be safe there, we have to continually be alert and aware and involved in protecting our rights locally.
So any big specials going on at the range right now? I know you've had this 12 days of Christmas special going on.
Well, it's interesting that you ask because we have a store full of merchandise that is always on sale.
So it's always for sale, everything in the store.
Every day is a special day, Mark. And the bottom line is, you know, a big belief for us is the tools are just a part of your plan. The firearm is a part of the plan. We're huge believers in make sure you know how to use that firearm. Make sure you understand the law. We have lots of training classes, great membership options for folks. In fact, if you come out I think it's through the 23rd of the month, and if you buy a membership at the range where you can come and shoot, save a bunch of money, you get a $50 gift card, and we can give you that as a gift for Christmas so you can play it to your new membership. So we got all kinds of great stuff going on. All our firearms are on sale.
Or you can take your gift card and apply it to that new toy you've been wanting to buy. So that's good. That's awesome.
Should actually, Mark, you should come in and buy a membership for everybody that you know, and then I'll just give you a bunch of gift cards.
Awesome. I like it. It's a plan.
We'll set you up with a new toy.
Ron.
I'm sure your team right there all need memberships.
I'm sure they do. Yeah, no kidding. They enjoyed it when they were in for Girls Just Want to Have Guns. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Ron, listen, have a great holiday. I appreciate your time.
Merry, Merry Christmas to everyone. Have a safe and happy new year.
All right. We'll see you now. Ron McCain from the Range St. Louis West, therangestl.com. Quick break, 314-241-9797. Big budget battle in St. Louis County. We'll talk to Councilman Mark Harder when we come back. A House Democrat has rolled out some new legislation that, you know, in addition to this universal background check stuff they're putting through, it would criminalize private gun sales effectively. What they're trying to do next, just so you know. So we'll talk more about that coming up. Let me get to my friend right now. He is County Councilman Mark Harder, St. Louis County District 7. Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark. I feel honored being on this late in the show, not after the farm report.
Well, you know, we did that earlier in the show. It's good to get you on here, though.
Yeah, it is. I haven't been on in a while.
Absolutely. Prime time here, baby. So let me tell you what. You guys are going to have a little dust up with Steve Stinger this afternoon over the budget. What are you trying to cut?
Well, I don't think we'll have a dust up because he probably won't be there at the meeting. So he's missed 54% of all of our meetings for the year. So I'm not worried about that. But we do have a budget crisis going on in St. Louis County, and we've got to address it. And the council we did it last year, but even more so this year. The council is the adult in the room this year, and we're trying to get this budget under control. The growth is unsustainable, and we're facing some tough times from the standpoint of our government if we don't take action now.
Well, good. I mean, that's what they need to do in Washington, D.C., but it never seems to get done. Two quick questions, because I've only got a couple minutes here. Number one, if you don't get this fixed, does that mean that the county has to come back and look for a tax increase?
Well, I think that's what the county executive is trying to set us up for, is that he's made comments on different shows that, you know, this problem can be fixed with a big tax increase. And the conservatives and the conservative Democrats on the council said, no, we're going to cut first. and then we'll see what we need. And we hope we don't need a tax increase for next year. But right now we're going to cut, and we're cutting $35 million out of the growth of our budget, not so much the meat of the budget, but we're trying to slow down the growth so the tax revenue can kind of catch up with our expenses.
And I've seen some talk that it might affect the police somehow. What's that all about?
Well, we are, the way our budget is set up is into different funds, and the police and a bunch of other departments are in what's called the general fund, and that general fund is bleeding red. And so we're trying to, everyone that's covered under that fund has been cut. The police only got cut 3%. Others got cut a lot deeper. But we're trying to balance that fund as we have other funds to try to keep this under control. And the police have everything they need from this standpoint. They are basically at the 2018 level and didn't get the growth that the, I guess, the county executive promised them. But they are fully funded for up to 53 or 52 police officers that they can hire this year.
Okay.
They asked for 72, and so we had to, you know, cut that back. And so they'll get everybody that they promised and made job opportunities to this year, and they'll have two classes of new officers, and then we'll look at it again. But the big thing is that we've left the door open for all the departments that if they're, you can't live with the budget that we're setting, that we can, we'll sit down with them and go over a line item, your budget, and decide where we can move money around so that you get the priorities that you want and that we want out of this budget.
All right. Well, we appreciate the hard work and kind of keeping a tight rein on county government. So, Mark, thank you so much. And give us a report tomorrow, later this week, about what happened.
That would be great.
All right. Appreciate that. County Councilman Mark Harder there on what's going to happen with the county budget. So it could affect a department near you if you work for the county. 314-241-9797. Chris Arps coming up. We're going to talk to Justin Hill about a plan he's introducing that might affect smaller police departments around the state. Coming up in the next hour. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
An opportunity to go to Israel for a few months and study with my favorite teachers over there. And that's where I'm going to go and probably, you know, move somewhere there and study with my favorite teachers. I have saved a few pennies, and I'm so lucky that I can go and go to any mikvah I want to go to at the right time of night and study with any rabbi who, I can ask to teach me. And it's like,
who is a man that would risk his neck for his brother, man?
Chef!
Can you dig it?
Two of the most recognizable voices in America. Didn't you know who that was immediately when you heard that squeaky little voice out of the radio there?
Yep. Roseanne.
So, Trump, here's my question. All those celebrities that promised to leave the country when Trump got elected and are still here causing problems, why don't they all go wherever they promised to go? Roseanne's moving to Israel.
Yeah, she's a Trump supporter, though.
Yes, I'm just saying. Oh, okay. she's moving, and she didn't even hate Trump.
Well, they kind of did her kind of dirty.
Oh,
they
did do her
I
dirty.
I would move, too. And then they killed her character off, so she can never, like, come back. But they can do a dream sequence, probably, and bring her back.
I was going to say, they killed off Dan, too, and he managed to come back.
That thing is going to...
I still don't understand that.
Yeah,
I don't know how that worked.
Hasn't it dropped in the ratings pretty significantly?
I haven't heard a thing about it ever since they announced that it was.
Do they call it the Connors or something?
Yeah, the Connors.
Well, they made
Murphy Brown failed.
Yeah, they made everybody mad that was watching it. Everybody came out in full force from like a conservative standpoint because it was one of the only balanced-ish things on TV.
All I know is that I DVR Last Man Standing every week, and I think that's great.
I do, too. That's a fun show. I like that show.
That's a good show. That's a good show. So what's up, my friend?
Nothing. You know, I'm a little mad at you.
Join the club, all right?
Get on board. Apparently, the folks at Delta are mad at me this morning, too, but that's a different story.
So I'm at Les Mis with my wife, and I go through Facebook, and I see you and your lovely family out in front. I'm thinking, oh, you're there.
Didn't even text you.
Listen, I bugged out a little early because I had to get up and work the next morning, right? And I get this text. I just crawled into bed. I was getting all warm and snuggly. I get this text and I look over and it's Arps. And he says, are you as bored as I am? And I texted back, no, I'm in bed about to go to sleep. And he called me a name that I can't use on the radio.
Yeah, we can't use that on the radio. I just called him a lucky something. But you know what? It was a good show. You know, I'm not into theater and all that, but the set designs were incredible. Whoever designed them did a good job. And the singing was incredible.
Oh,
but
I'm sure.
Other than that, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah. It was all singing, right? There's not really any
Becky
monologue.
And even told me what the plot was. And even while it was going on, I'm like, what's going on? I have no clue. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
My wife enjoyed it, so that's what counts.
Named after the Democratic Party. That's pretty good.
Les Mis.
That
amazing. That's true, but
I enjoyed it. Wish
Trish,
you were there.
Appreciated that. Yeah, I bet you do.
We could have had a couple of drinks. And...
Well, you were in the club level. You should have been having a good time up there, right?
Yeah.
Excellent seats, good food.
Yeah. All for the wife. Happy wife, happy life or something like
that. That's what they say.
That's for sure.
Correct. Keep going with that.
Chris and I are exchanging text messages yesterday after this whole Comey testimony and Cohen and all this stuff, all this smoke, no fire, still a lot of smoke, no fire. I pointed out this morning in my soapbox, which you can listen to if you missed it there on FM News Talk 97.1's website, 971talk.com/Cox. This is reminiscent. There's no way to not draw the analogy to the Greitens case. And here's why. He's an outsider. He got elected despite what the establishment wanted. He was not their candidate ever. And the Democrats were after him. The Republicans were after him. The establishment was after him. That's what happened. The truest test is if they weren't elected officials, would there have been any investigations or any charges? The answer is a resounding no. And there were, in the Greitens case, all the criminal charges were dropped, everything as soon as they got what they wanted. And if Donald Trump was to resign tomorrow, which they'd all love, the same thing would happen. All of the investigations would go away and the establishment would be happy again.
I don't think the investigations would go away. I think there's so much disdain for Donald Trump from Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, that I think they would stop at nothing less until he was indicted and put in jail. I don't think the investigation would stop if
disdain is not enough. I held Bill Clinton in utter contempt and continue to, but my disdain for him didn't mean that whatever he did with Monica met the level of high crimes and misdemeanors to kick him out of office.
Yeah. But as I said before, I don't think that the women and all that stuff is the thing that's going to have him the most legal jeopardy. I've said this time and time again, when they have your chief financial guy in front of a grand jury and you have Michael Cohen, who is your lawyer, and they can go over through all these tax records. Mark,
but that shouldn't be the reason that they deny the will of the people, Chris. That's my point.
I understand that. I mean, I'm making an observation. This is not what I hope to happen or whatever. I'm just making
an
observation.
I understand. But my point is, if you've got to go back and all of your investigation comes up with people caught in a perjury trap or they're guilty of tax evasion from 10 years ago and you've got the prosecuting attorney for the state of New York who was just elected on a platform of being a pain in Donald Trump's rear end, and she's promising investigations and all this stuff, and the Manhattan city attorney's going after Trump's personal records and his private company and all that. That's not the reason you kick somebody out of the presidency, because they wouldn't be doing any of that if they didn't hate the fact that he got elected over her in 2016.
Right. I think that if you look at all of the leaks and all of the cases that have already been adjudicated, I think that the case that they're going to try to make, and especially with this recent revelation that the president was still trying to have a Trump Tower built even all the way up to November during the election, I think they're going to try to make the case that Putin knew that you were negotiating with him to build a Trump Tower, but you were telling the American people that you weren't, and that can make him look like he's compromised because Putin has something on you that you're lying to the American people.
All that's evidence of is that right up until election day, Donald Trump didn't think he was going to win either.
I agree, but
had he didn't win, he was going back to doing what he did before. Yeah. And if he always wanted to build a Trump Tower in Moscow.
I understand that, but it just looks bad when you said that I stopped negotiating with these people in January.
And then it comes out that you were still negotiating with basically Vladimir Putin all the way up to November. I just think that it looks bad. Not saying that I want him thrown out of office or that's what I'm looking for, but I'm just saying with that and all of this other stuff, it makes a pretty bad circumstantial case that something was going on between them.
I think all it proves is that we still don't know where the $120,000 came from. That's all it proves.
Where is that money, Chris?
Quick break. You know, I've invited State Representative Justin Hill to join us here in this next segment to talk about this bill he's introduced that would effectively eliminate smaller police departments in some of these municipalities. I guess that's a version of criminal justice reform.
Yeah, that's been needed.
I don't know, but we're going to get Justin on the phone next. We'll get to your phone calls, 314-241-9797. All right, welcome back. Chris Arps in studio with me. I mentioned I wanted to get State Representative Justin Hill on the radio this morning, and lo and behold, here he is on line one from District 108. Justin, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning. I wanted to talk about this, one of the bills you've pre-filed. Maybe you've pre-filed more than one, but the one that caught my attention was the one that would effectively end the smaller police departments around the area, correct?
Not all of them, but yeah, in a five-year period, it would force consolidation with a lot of the smaller departments.
And what's the point there? Is that a step toward... there have been criminal justice reform efforts in St. Louis County saying that some of these smaller municipalities maybe abuse that power sometime. Is that the problem?
Well, for a long time now. I mean, even dating back over, 10 years ago when I was a policeman, and we've always recognized that, these small municipalities were kind of a breeding ground for officers that were told to quit or be fired elsewhere. It allowed them to get a job. And they would do what a lot of policemen in the St. Louis area call the North County Shuffle. And they would go from department to department to department. And it was just problematic. And it was hard to find lawmakers in St. Louis County that were willing to take on that issue because of the political nature of it.
Yeah, I know there are 91 municipalities. I don't know what the number of police departments is total in the county. I know it's below that because many of them contract already with St. Louis County, right?
Yes, we have about... Early numbers expect to see about 22 affected police departments with this bill. That would leave 33 police departments that would not be affected.
Would this bill only be affected towards small municipality police departments in St. Louis County, or would it affect, other small towns that may have a police department that's not very effective? Or is this designed specifically for St. Louis County?
I tried to come up with a way where it would be useful statewide, but St. Louis County is the only county that has this issue. I don't know if you guys know the history of this, but the reason we have so many municipalities in St. Louis County, and I grew up in St. Louis County, the reason we have so many is because of the sewer systems. Long ago, cities had to incorporate to be able to tax their residents so they can create a sewer system and essentially have neighborhoods. So while they're called cities, they're effectively neighborhoods. A lot of these cities are only like 0.2 square miles.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I mean, I guess what's the number though? Is it delineated by the size of the community or the size of the police department?
Yeah. So it's the size of the community. So a city under 5,000 residents that is also under 2 square miles would be an affected city.
Okay.
So they would be able to merge with a neighboring police department that had over 15,000 in population or the county.
So, yeah, Justin, I'm going to come up on a hard break here in a minute, but do you have any idea? Do you have the support? Do you think there's going to be a fight to get this bill through?
Well, every bill's tough, but at least we're getting attention now. Some Democratic lawmakers, which would make it bipartisan, which that's a key, an important step in making any law.
Sure, it is. All right. Well, listen, it's always great to have you on the show, and I appreciate you giving me some time this morning.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
All right, Justin Hill, there, State Representative, District 108, kind of explaining that. Yeah, I could see that'll be a little. I wondered how I felt about it at first, but he's right. If you've got a place that's that small. It's rife for potential problems.
And a conspiratorial-minded person might say this is a back way door to have consolidation of these small municipalities and have them eventually merge all together if they don't have police departments.
Completely against just the whole city-county merger point of view there. Yeah, I see your point. Completely. All right, 314-241-9797. Do you have time to hang out?
I do, sir.
All right, so Chris is going to hang out with us through the bottom of the hour. We'll get to your phone calls right after this. So I just have to share with the group here, with the audience, what I was going through a minute ago. So my mother, if I tell her age, she'll kill me, but, you know, needless to say, she's an octogenarian now, and she's at the airport trying to fly here. And she calls me up in a panic because she gets to the airport and the folks at Delta tell her that if she can't produce the credit card she used to pay for the flight, that they may not let her fly. And she was all freaked out. Well, I'm the one that made the reservation for her, right?
Right.
And she couldn't find the credit card number that she gave me to book the flight. She couldn't. Maybe she left it at home. I don't know. She's like a medallion member on Delta, all this stuff, silver, platinum level, SkyMiles member, all this stuff. And I get the lady on the phone. I said, hand the phone to the desk attendant. Right?
So is this her credit card? It's her credit card. She just doesn't
her
have
credit
it
card.
With her.
You yeah, yeah, yeah.
It. Okay.
And I said to the lady on the phone, do you know who you're dealing with? No, I'm just kidding. So I say to the lady on the phone, I'm like, let me ask you a question. Why is this, because you're concerned about credit card fraud? And she said, yes. And I'm like, why would somebody steal her credit card and then pay for her airline reservation with it? Can I just ask that question? She's obviously in her 80s. She's traveling in a wheelchair with a dog on her lap. Do you really think somebody stole her credit card and then bought her a plane ticket to St. Louis with it? Seriously. Sir, I'm just following regulations. And I'm like, let's think this through a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, it's not some 20-year-old who's traveling to Tahiti and can't come up with the credit card that he used to buy the flight. It's just craziness. I'm all for them being cautious about that, but come on.
Yeah.
They didn't have any trouble taking the money when I paid for the flight back in November, and now all of a sudden she's at the airport and they're about to give her a heart attack.
Yeah, so she's on the plane, she'll be here.
She's at the gate.
Okay.
Now they finally let her through. Okay. And then they get her through TSA. Another great TSA story here. Trust me, folks, the skies are safe from terrorists. Because my mother, because she has a pacemaker, right? I'm giving all of her health history out here. She couldn't go through the magnetometer. She couldn't go through the metal detector or that scan thing they do. So they had to take her around, make her stand up, and they had to, I don't think they did a body cavity search, but they did like a, you know, where they're patting her down to make sure she wasn't going to assault the door of the airplane and take it over when she got on there.
Uh-huh.
She can barely walk, and they think she's going to take the airplane down? I mean, it's ridiculous what we do in this country.
I blame the terrorists.
True. They put us where we are today.
That is fact.
That's fair. Yeah,
but I think that little bit of common sense goes a long way with some of those.
We need profiling is what we need. Yeah. I've said that before. They do it in Israel and it works beautifully. When's the last time you can think of a terrorist attack on the airlines or anything in Israel?
Like raid on Entebbe in 75?
It's been a long time, in other words. Thank you for pointing that out. It's been a long time because from the minute you step on airport property, somebody's looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
And they do facial recognition, and they have people who are studied in mannerisms, and they know what they're looking for, and they don't pull aside 80-year-old women and frisk them down for fear that they're trying to sneak a bomb onto an airplane. It's just common sense. And it works. Common. We have a lack of that. It's
common
not so common.
Sense is not common.
Not so common in this country, is it? No? What are you doing for the holidays? You in town?
No. We're going to New York State, visit the sister-in-law and family. All that
nice.
So,
be careful up
drive.
There.
We like driving, so we're going to drive.
They don't take any guns with you.
Pennsylvania's a beautiful state. We get to drive through there.
It is pretty. It is. It's beautiful.
That always surprises me because you don't think of Pennsylvania as like a beautiful state, but it really is.
Yeah. Yeah, but just don't take any guns with you because those people are crazy in New York and New Jersey. They really are.
Yeah, we've heard that.
Now, do you remember the story about the lady who was like a concealed carry holder, and she drove across the state line from like Pennsylvania into New Jersey to buy something, and she got pulled over before she got back across the state line. They discovered she had a weapon. She didn't have a permit in New Jersey, and they threw her in jail, and she ended up having to get a pardon by the governor, or would have done jail time for that. That's as ludicrous as the rules in Illinois.
You know what? I interviewed her on the Mark Cox Show last year.
Did you really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She did your show.
Imagine that.
Yeah, she did your show.
How did that happen when I wasn't there?
Yeah, I interviewed her on your show.
Was she heated?
No, she was just very thankful to get her story out because she is working on a bill of reciprocity. So wherever you go in the country, your gun permit is good. So that's her big issue. But yeah, she did a good job on your show.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that she did.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by that, and I think that national reciprocity would be a great thing. It'll never happen now because the craziness, the Democrats are passing these bills. And now they're introducing one for universal background checks, which would effectively make it illegal for you to you know, sell a gun to your child or to give a gun to your child or for a father to pass a gun down to a son or anything like that. You'd need to go through the government in order to do that.
Yeah.
They're trying to criminalize it.
And when are we ever going to realize that guns don't kill people? Well, people kill people.
True. I was talking about it earlier with the Parkland school shooting, mm-hmm. the Stoneman Douglas thing, and how they did a 400-page study, and the conclusion was it was a school safety. It was a school failure, mm-hmm. not a gun failure, right? A gun law failure.
And I also think whoever wrote that report with the families in mind. Because they just set them up for a great lawsuit against the Parkland School Board and the Sheriff's Department, all of them. So that was a good report for a basis for a good lawsuit.
Thing about it was they had family members of some of the victims. This is a statewide mm-hmm. thing that was set up. They had law enforcement members. They had members of the community. They had members representing education. They had a wide-ranging group mm-hmm. of people on there, and they came together and put this report together and didn't mention the gun.
Yeah.
It's pretty fascinating.
Maybe there's hope.
Hey, did you smoke your candy cigarette that I gave you?
I did. You know, I was very disappointed.
Why?
Because the old candy cigarettes, they were just that chalky
candy. That you
like hard sugar stick thing.
This was gum.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was telling the folks earlier, if you just tuned in, I went down to Caledonia, Missouri this weekend. We were just driving through, and we stopped this little General Mercantile store, mm-hmm. and I see these packs that look just like a pack of Marlboros. Yeah. It says Kings on the front of them, and you open it up, and they're bubble gum cigarettes is what they, but they're wrapped in a wrapper that looks like it's got a filter on it, mm-hmm. and when you blow on it, smoke comes out of the front.
You really like that.
We're gonna do a little video. Don't blow.
Yeah, make sure you save one.
We're gonna do a little video
I've got two left. I've been giving them away this morning. I've been pushing. I'm a pusher. I've been pushing my candy cigarettes.
Selling
on
them for 25 cents.
I was surprised it's still a thing.
Want a puff?
Right.
It's so frowned on smoking these days.
Yeah, I thought those were banned years ago.
No kidding. Particularly the one with the filter on it.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
They look kind of real too.
I know.
They do.
I try to let them hang out of my
lip
like my dad used to when he was chewing me out for something.
Mark keeps having to relight them. But.
Mark, get over here.
Is that bad
Chris,
memories?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
And to your lovely wife, Becky, and the whole family, please.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on, and everyone have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
We already had Hanukkah, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, thanks for all your help in 2018. We appreciate it. We're looking forward to next year.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Excellent work on the weekend report.
Yeah, we had a good Burgess Owens
5 to 7.
Weekend.
Oh, yeah. Good. So listen every Saturday here on FM News Talk 97.1. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a great opportunity for you to support the police and listen to some great Johnny Cash music. We'll be right back. Bill Furness and one more round with their that's the new CD just brought into the studio with me a few minutes ago. They're having a Johnny Cash tribute concert, if you can't tell from the music there. Isn't that awesome? Bill's in studio with me right now, along with Lieutenant Carl Bull of the St. Louis County Police Officers. He's with the St. Louis County Police, and he's with the Welfare Association. Sorry about that. Because they got a benefit concert coming up, and there's still plenty of time for you to get tickets to it. It's the January 12th and 13th. So, guys, welcome in.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, great to have you. What do we have? Are we have him here on
the mic? We tend to have issues with that microphone when we have a guest.
Is it
only
now?
Works for Chris Arps or
it
something.
It worked. Did Chris unplug it? Can we?
I don't know. Are we not hearing him?
Bill has to be his own engineer. Welcome to the studio, Bill.
Oh,
we can hear him now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear him. Can you hear me now?
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Good to have you back. No, just leave. Don't touch. It's in the back there.
Awesome. It's that one right
good.
There.
Good. We got it. We've determined it. It's good to have you guys back on. I had you on my show last year before this event,
yes.
And what a great time.
Yeah, thank you again for having us and helping us out with this show, man. This will be our third annual Folsom Prison Experience, and this is at the Liuna Event Center in Sunset Hills, Missouri. This year, we are offering a matinee show, so that's the first time for that. So January 12th, Saturday night, we're doing dinner and a show, and then January 13th is a matinee show at 2 p.m. Starts at 2 p.m. I think the doors are at 12:30 or something.
Oh, I'm
like
sure. Right. I'm sure. And it helps the Welfare Association. Lieutenant, maybe tell us a little bit more about that.
It does. The Welfare Association is for the St. Louis County Police Department. That helps both our professional staff and law enforcement officers in their time of need. We also do things like we support the families of our fallen officers. We take them to Washington, D.C., along with having a memorial breakfast once a year to support them, let them know that their loved ones who gave the ultimate sacrifice is never forgotten.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah, I tried to raise that up earlier, Zach.
He's tall.
Lieutenant Bull, you can't see him. He's a big guy, and the microphone doesn't quite reach his mouth, so I had to make him bend over there. Sorry about that.
It's all good.
Sorry. Yeah, that's good. So all the money raised from this then goes to the Welfare Association, right?
Well, what we're doing is actually we have a warrant arrest. So what you can do is when you're there for $10, you can issue a warrant for somebody's arrest.
Perfect.
We actually take them, drag them up to a makeshift prison up on the stage, and they stand for a couple sets, and then we set them back down. So
it
all goes for
that.
The Welfare
Association.
Oh, so you can't just issue a general warrant and you have to be there in attendance?
Yeah, I don't know if you want to. We'll
That'd be a great fundraiser.
Be a little more money for that one.
Yeah, it's become a big hit. It's been a lot of fun. People enjoy it.
That's fantastic. And Bill, I had you in last year and you were willing to play a song for me because you just do such a spot-on Johnny Cash. We really appreciate you.
Thanks.
What are you going to play for me today?
I was thinking maybe the biggest hit, Ring of Fire.
Nice. Yeah. Let's do it. Bill Furness.
Love is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring. I'm bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire, and I fell into a burning ring of fire. Went down, 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 flame went higher, and it burned, burned, burns. The ring of fire, ring of fire. And the taste of a love is sweet when hard like ours meet. I fell for you just like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild. I fell into a burning ring of fire. Went down, down, down. Flame went higher. Burn, burn, burns. Ring of fire. Ring of fire. And I fell into a burning ring of fire. Went down, down, down. Flame went higher. Burn, burn, burns. Ring of fire. The ring of fire. Ring of fire. Ring of fire.
Very nice. Bill Furness.
Love it.
Thank you.
And his band is
so
one
good.
More round. They're going to be playing at this event coming up, the 12th and 13th. The cool thing about this is, and Bill told me this last year, I think, Lieutenant, you were there too. When people come in, you assign them the identity of an inmate that was actually at Folsom Prison?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so there's another part of this where you can get your mugshot took. So we put up a height chart, and you get a chart that's got a number, and you kind of end up in that golden ticket sort of Willy Wonka situation. But there was an inmate named Glenn Shirley there at Folsom Prison, and unknown to him, Johnny Cash got a hold of his song and performed it live there, and Glenn Shirley didn't know it.
Wow.
He then helped him get turned around, get released from prison, got him a record deal with Columbia Records, and had him on tour.
Holy cow.
Wow. Can you imagine?
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's like a walking encyclopedia of Johnny Cash stories. It's fantastic to get him on the radio. That's great. Well, listen, gentlemen, thank you for all you do. And again, we'll have a link to this up on our website at 971talk.com/Cox with all the details. Leuna Event Center is down there off Lindbergh in South County, so it's easy for you to get to. What they're going to do is let us give away a couple of tickets, and we'll do that during the show tomorrow. We'll get all the details, and we'll give away a pair of tickets to this event tomorrow. In the meantime, you can go to our website. And, of course, the St. Louis Police Officers, the St. Louis Welfare Association for the St. Louis County Police Officers, let me give you their web address. We'll put this link on ours as well. It's SLCPD Welfare, right?
Welfare Store.
Store.com.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, SLCPDWelfareStore.com. And again, we'll get that up on our website. Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.
Thanks for all you do. Thanks for singing for us, Bill.
Yeah, you're welcome. They can call 314-226-1010 or go to LiunaEventCenter.com.
That's it. We're out of time. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning.
Get more at 971talk.com.